Father God, thank you for this psalm that you have given us through your servant David. Help us to pay close attention to it, to see what it means to follow you in tough times. Amen. Can anyone tell me what this is and what it might be used for, this thing that I've got? Yes, Jacqueline, what do you think? It is indeed a life jacket. I think it's technically called a life preserver. This is one that Tim has lent me for the service. It's got the number 70 on the back because we're doing Psalm 70. Would you like to wear it during the sermon, Jasmine? Would you like to wear it, or would somebody else like to wear it? Would you like to wear it? Yeah? Happy to wear it? So if you wear that during the sermon, I'll explain why. Because I've got that illustration there because it helps set the scene for the psalm. You see, David, who's writing the psalm, he's in real trouble, okay? So if you imagine you can try and picture the scene. He's in trouble. He needs his life being preserved. He needs to have something like Jasmine is wearing at the moment. David's life is in danger as we read the psalm. And yet we get to listen in to the prayer that he says to God while he's in that danger. And I hope as we do that, there'll be plenty that we can learn about prayer as we do so. Now, Psalm 70 has a similar message to Psalm 69, which we looked at last week, but it's much shorter. Both are prayers for God's help, and begin with David saying, "Save me." Now, this psalm has got a sandwich structure. Hopefully, you'll see a sandwich on the screen, just to give you a little picture of the psalm, because in verses 1 and 5, so the beginning and the end, David prays for himself. And then in the middle, the filling, if you like, that's the bread. In the middle, the filling, we see David praying against his enemies and for God's people. So we can imagine the psalm being like that sandwich. And it's only got 5 verses, our psalm, so it's a lot shorter than last week, but it can teach us a lot about how and what to pray. And I picked out 3 lessons for us to follow this morning. And they are this: pray for yourself, pray when it hurts, and pray for other believers. And we can summarize them in a phrase which we can learn to say to God this morning. Hopefully the phrase is on the screen behind me now. So it's, "Help me and your people." So can we repeat that after me? So, "Help me and all your people." And as we remember that phrase, that will help us understand and follow the psalm. So firstly, pray for yourself. You see, David, who writes the psalm, he shows us that praying for yourself doesn't mean selfish and just listing out a list of all the things that you want. He prays for himself because he's in need. He needs that life preserver that we've got. Have a look at verse 1 and the second half of and the first part of verse 5. Verse 1 says, "Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me." And verse 5 begins, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God." So what's David's situation? People want to kill him and are mocking him. We don't have the specific details, but that's what's going on. However, it's clear, isn't it? He is in serious trouble. He needs the life preserver. David prays for God to save him and save him quickly. He's in trouble. He realizes that he's poor and needy, but he trusts that God is able to act. This is the prayer of a believer. What about us? Do we do this naturally when we face difficulties? Do we turn to God when we're in trouble? What is our first reaction in those times? Hasten, the word in verse 1, and come quickly in verse 5 basically mean the same thing. It's all about wanting God to act quickly. We can pray these verses, and Jesus calls us to be urgent and persistent in prayer. But we can pray them still trusting in God's timing. David is poor and needy in this situation. But actually, we're always poor and needy before God. No matter how much stuff we have, or how well our lives seem to be going, we're always poor and needy before God. Now, how is it that babies tell their parents what they need? Who can answer that? How do babies tell their parents what they need? Yes, Daniel? They cry, don't they? Super loud. They cry out super loud. Well, I discovered that, was reminded of that recently when I met my new nephew. But if you see any baby, they cry, don't they, to share that, show what they need. They just cry loudly. Well, when David teaches us to pray for ourselves, he shows that we are to be like these babies, crying out to God with our needs. So how will you pray for yourself? What are your needs? Will you bring them before God? Maybe that's health struggles, moving to a new school, changing jobs, caring for family members in difficulty. Will you bring those needs before God? So our first heading is pray for yourself. And our second is pray when it hurts. We see that in verses 2 to 3. Pray when it hurts. David says, "May those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' turn back because of their shame." So David is facing real opposition. He cries out to God. These are raw emotions, aren't they? It's hard to read in some ways. David's not yet at the stage where he can pray like Jesus does, "Father, forgive them," to those who were crucifying him. We are right to pray for God's justice, but we need to acknowledge our own sin too. You see, only Jesus can say these verses without being sinful. We may not face people seeking our lives today, but we may often face people mocking or taunting us. The words here, "aha, aha," could be, many different words that we might face in our workplaces, in school, in different contexts, even from our own family, where people are mocking us. David literally speaks of people desiring to hurt him. There is no hurt that we can go through that we cannot bring to God in prayer. This is a prayer for God to act, not for David to gain revenge. If his opponents are put to shame and confusion, they'll realize they're in the wrong or no longer be united in opposing David. So just as in the previous Psalm 69, the opposition David faces shows the reality of living in a broken world. His enemies are not just opposing him because he's a believer. They will have had many motives for doing that. And that'll be the case if people seek to hurt us today, not just if we're Christians, but we might just face that in everyday life. Well, children, if you're hurt, what's the first thing you normally do? What do you reckon? What's the first thing you'll normally do if you're hurt? What do you do? Any suggestions? Yes? Yeah, you'll cry, won't you? And who might you go to? Who might you turn to? Yeah, I think so. You might turn to your mum and dad. It's a very natural reaction, isn't it, to do that? Well, as we get older, we might internalize our pain a bit more, but we'll still seek support and care. That could be from a doctor or maybe a trusted friend. Well, what hurt are you facing right now? What hurt are you still feeling the consequences of? Is that cruel or unpleasant people at school or work? Broken relationships? Family tensions? Opposition to you being a Christian? Will you bring that to God in prayer? Will you pray when it hurts? Will you be as direct as that child running to mum or dad when they're hurt? We don't need to have all our emotions sorted in order to pray. Well, so far, as we've looked at our psalm this morning, it's told us, hasn't it, to pray for yourself, pray when it hurts. And thirdly, our message is pray for other believers. That's our third heading. Have a look at verse 4 and the second half of verse 5. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. You are my deliverer. Lord, do not delay. You see, David's hurt hasn't gone away at this point. He's in the midst of his struggles. He's still needing that life preserver. But as he does that, he remembers other believers, that is those who seek God. The but at the beginning of verse 4 is crucial. When we're hurt or struggling, we can tend to focus inwards on ourselves. But David looks outwards to others. Do you know Christians who do that? You ask them about the struggles they're facing, but what they want to know about is how everybody else is getting on and how they can pray for others. Well, in verse 4, David prays for other believers to rejoice and be glad in God. They may long for God's saving help in particular situations, but they already know him as their saviour. Indeed, the verse literally reads, may the ones loving your salvation always say the Lord is great. The ones who love God's salvation. We can say God is great even as we long for his saving help. Because if we're Christians, God has saved us in Jesus. So David can describe God as his help and deliverer in verse 5. David knew God as his saviour. He trusted in God's promise to save, even if he was not totally sure how God would accomplish that. David looked forward to the cross, but we now look back at it. So if we're Christians today, we're blessed because we know how God has saved us. If we know that God has saved us by sending Jesus to die on the cross in our place, we know that there's nothing he cannot do. And as we join with David in calling God our help and deliverer, we too can say the Lord is great and pray that other Christians would say it too. And if you're not yet a Christian today, I pray that you will come to know God as your help and deliverer, as David says in verse 5. David brings his needs and his hurts to God in prayer. But as he does so, he states that God is great. David remembers God and his salvation are enough for him, even in tough times. Our prayer should be more than simply just asking God for things. Even when we're needy and hurting, we can and should pray for other believers. Well, will you be watching England in a World Cup final after this service? Maybe many will, I suspect. Imagine if an England player missed a chance to score in that match and was so upset that she put her head in her hands and didn't see that a teammate had actually put the rebound into the goal. That'd be really strange, wouldn't it? When we're hurting, we're far less likely to consider and see other people. But Psalm 70 challenges us to look outwardly, to take that hand, if you like, off our faces, to look to other believers, even when we're in great difficulty, to bring them before God. So Psalm 70 is a short psalm that teaches us a lot about prayer. Remember that life preserver that Jasmine's been wearing during the service? David is in real trouble. He needs God to preserve his life. But as we've looked at this psalm, we've seen three things about God in prayer. We've seen pray for yourself, we've seen pray when it hurts, and we've seen pray for other believers. And we've summarized this with the phrase we're learning to say this morning. That phrase, help me and all your people. Can you say that after me again? Help me and all your people. A way to summarize what the psalm is teaching us. You see, we can and we should bring other people's needs to God. But we're also called to look, we can bring our needs to God, but we're also called to look outwards to others. In order to help us do that now, Tim is going to come and lead us in prayer. And after that, there'll be a chance for comments and questions. Thank you.
Let's try that phrase again, everybody. Help us and help all your people. Okay, us, because it's all of us together. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we pray for ourselves. Thank you for bringing together every one of us into the church family here at Christ Church. Help us to be a people who show what you're like to the world. Kind, patient, loving, welcoming, generous. Help us all to learn to trust you and depend on you more each week. May we be good hearers of what you say as well as doers. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's praying for ourselves. Let's pray when it hurts. Lord God, some of us are not well. We are all poor and needy. We have pain and injuries that slow us down and mean we can't do the things we want to. Some of us are anxious or sad or angry or feeling helpless. Please come quickly to us. Be our help and our rescuer. Help us to take your hand by faith and to believe in your power to comfort and strengthen and encourage and equip us for one more day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we pray for others. Let's pray for others. There will be people in Sawston, Lord God, who do not yet know you, but would be glad to talk to someone about you. May they find Christians who can show them what Jesus has done for the world and point them to the Bible. There will be others who aren't even thinking about believing, but might say yes if someone invited them to church. Help us to do the inviting. Lord God, we pray for other Christians we know. Keep them faithful, living to please you, and serving you in any way they can. When they sin, help them to stop and ask for forgiveness and know that you still love them and will help them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our slightly adjusted phrase, Lord God, help us and help all your people. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer, the one he taught the disciples. It covers all those things. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So has anybody got any questions for Ed?
Excellent. So, Levi, bring the microphone round.
It's more of a reminder that as we've gone through this this psalm, it just reminded me how a lot of African Christians, not to be sort of, I don't know what the word is, but you know what I mean? A lot of African Christians pray thanking God for who he is and what he does before they even ask for their requests. And I just wanted to remind people how that's important too. And I know it talks about rushing to asking God, but also it's just nice to tell God how good he is as well.
Thanks so much for that. Yeah, to come to God, acknowledging how awesome he is before we bring our request to him. Thank you, Fiona. That's really helpful. Oh, I can see T1 back there.
Dars had a question, but she's a bit shy, so I'm just going to read it out. But she's written on her sheet, and it says, why do we pray to God for help?
Great question. Why do we pray to God for help? Well, if we need help, we need to pray to somebody who's able to help us, don't we? Because just like we talked about the life preserver that Jasmine's wearing, it'd be no use saying, oh, if she was in trouble and I threw her a donut or something, that wouldn't save her. The life preserver will save her. We pray to God because he is able to help. He is our creator. He's our maker. He sent Jesus to die that we might be saved. So we pray to somebody who can help us. That's why we pray to God. Great question. Thank you so much for that. Cool. Brilliant. I think that... Oh, was there one more?
Your illustration about looking forward and looking back was really helpful, but I thought also not only do we look back and see what God has done, we're also looking forward for that hope as well.
Yes, I could have had
we can't see.
Brilliant. I could have had another arrow, couldn't I? Looking forward, exactly. Yeah. We look back to the cross, we look forward to what God has in store for us. Yeah. Thank you, that's really helpful. Excellent.